Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The readings are taken from Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, and the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 9 to 20. The talk is from Edward Hoskin, who is a Methodist lay preacher, as we continue our series based on Pete Gregg's book, How to Hear God. And today, hearing his whisper through dreams and the unconscious.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Joel, and I'm reading the verses 28 to 32 of the second chapter, the day of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Good morning. This morning's New Testament reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 9 to 20, and is entitled Peter's Vision. This passage comes just after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, which marks a turning point in the history of the early church. Never has any conversion meant a more complete about-face and radical changing of thinking. In chapter 10, we learn that up to this point, the gospel has been preached only to Jews, converts to Judaism, and Samaritans who observe the law of Moses. Now, God steps in to make it plain that the message is for all men and women. He prepares Cornelius of Caesarea, the centurion who considers by Christians to be the first Gentile to convert to the faith. And he prepares Peter. Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 20, Peter's vision. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thank you.
So let us pray. Father God, your majesty is beyond our imagination, and your ways are beyond our understanding. Help us, we pray, not to limit how we hear you, how we hear you speak to us. And so inspire us to use our imagination to explore your message to us. Amen. So we had Joel's prophecy. Joel foresaw that God would bless everyone. And again, this has a parallel with what we've just heard in the Acts of the Apostles. Joel foresaw that God would pour out his spirit on everyone, male, female, young and old. A message at the time, a message of future hope. A hope which we celebrate in 2 weeks' time when we remember Pentecost. And at that time, at that first Pentecost, Peter quoted from the apostle, from the prophet Joel in his sermon as he was declaring it as a fulfillment. The coming of the Spirit was a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. So if you believe in Pentecost, if you believe that the Spirit is poured out on all of us, do you also believe the rest of Joel's prophecy, that we will prophesy, that we'll have dreams, that we'll have visions? Now, apparently, we dream pretty well every night. I'm not going to ask you what your dreams are. And if you don't think you dream, it's not that you're not dreaming, it's just you're not remembering it, apparently. I'm no psychologist, but apparently dreaming is something to do with our brains sorting out the sort of troubles and the things we've been through during the day. So to some extent, what we dream is has a bearing on our current situation, our current context, if you like, what's been going through in our lives, in our minds. And whether we remember our dreams is perhaps something to do with whether we are the quality of our sleep, our mental state, you know, whether it's to do with how we wake up, whether we quickly wake up, or whether we sort of have that restless sort of period of struggling with coming to life again. In my experience, I have no idea what causes different types of dreams. It's all a complete sort of pretty random and bizarre. And so whether we consider dreams to be a message from God is perhaps a problem to us. Or is it a message from God, or is it just our troubled imagination? And so I'll come on to that later, that difficulty I'll come on to later. Now, it would not be surprising if some of you here consider that God speaks to you in dreams and through your imagination on a regular basis, that it's perfectly normal to you. Wouldn't be surprised at all. That should be, we should expect that. But I also know that some of us, including myself, at times struggle with, you know, how can God speak to us in dreams? Are the bizarre things we think of or remember from our dreams at night something of God communicating with us? And if it is problematic, then maybe we need to be more open to the variety of ways in which we hear God's whisper. So as Fabian has already recounted, we're studying this book, How to Hear God, this book by Pete Grieg. And Jesus was the first week, Jesus being the center of how we understand God talking to us. And so Dave talked to us about that a few weeks ago. And then we had the Word of God in Scripture. Fabian led that section. And then we had Nick talking about prayer and how we interact with God through our prayer time, that dialogue with God. And then last week, Fabian talked to us about prophecy, listening to others, how we can hear God through the message that others, how others speak to us. And so today bearing in mind those other aspects of how God speaks to us, today we're thinking of dreams and the unconscious. Now, the number of dreams and visions in the Bible are too many to mention today. You'll be aware of many, I'm sure, yourself. Job in the Bible refers to dreams as visions of the night. Or if you perhaps turn that the other way around, perhaps visions are daydreams. But the point I'm making is I don't think we need to worry about too much about the difference between dreams and visions. Some regard one as daytime and nighttime. Let's not worry too much. And let's consider that all together with the whole our whole unconscious in terms of the way the Holy Spirit may speak to us, to our unconscious being. But let's just consider a few of the dreams, So here, a bit of a quiz. I'm sure you might, some of you might know who that is. Jacob. Do you want to shout out? Jacob. So Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28. Jacob used a rock as a pillow, which I've always thought was a bit uncomfortable and not surprising. He perhaps had a weird dream. But he dreamt of angels ascending and descending a staircase. And in that dream, he also had that message from God that God would be with him and that Jacob would have many descendants. He woke up, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Next one's probably a bit difficult for you to exactly know who that is, but you might like to guess. A sort of regal person, as in a king who might have had a dream. Solomon. So again, it's Solomon. So a bit of an unfair question, because obviously it's just an artist's impression. But Solomon had a dream at Gibeon. The Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said to him, ask for whatever you want. And so Solomon asked for a discerning heart to govern God's people and distinguish between right and wrong. And so God said, I will give you a wise heart, a wise and discerning heart. Again, a bit of a fuzzy picture perhaps, but the clue to it is the thing in the middle. I say thing because it's a sixth-wing seraphim. Who is this? Isaiah, well done. So in Isaiah 6, you may know the chapter, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne and all those sort of wonderful things, including this six-winged angel, seraphim, who touched Isaiah's lips with a burning coal. And the outcome of that was that Isaiah was asked, you know, God said, who will I send? And he said, here I am, send me. And then we have Peter's vision. I'm not going to ask you to guess that because we just had it. It'd be too easy for you. But this cloth coming down with all these animals in and those texts which we've just had. All of these have a context. Jacob had been blessed by his father, Isaac, and he'd fallen out with his brother Esau. There's a natural split between these brothers because Esau was hoping to be blessed. And so Jacob was sent away. I can imagine his father saying, get away, let's not have too much family tension, you know, split up with your brother. But he also was sent away to find a wife. So he was possibly that night feeling a bit alone, a bit uncertain as to what his future was. Solomon was a young king. He was nervous. He was unsure about how he could lead God's people. Isaiah, don't know much about what he was perhaps thinking, but he was in a situation where the people were rebelling. The people of Judah and Jerusalem were in a state of rebellion. They're rejecting God's covenant. And maybe a bit glib, but I've just said that Peter was hungry. We've had the text today. Peter was up on the roof. He'd gone up to pray, and he fell into this trance. But it said he was hungry, and while he was waiting for the meal to come, hungry. I'll come on to why I sort of mentioned that point in a minute. But maybe we can relate to some of these things. Sometimes we maybe feel alone, unsure of the future. We sometimes perhaps lack confidence, or we feel we need some extra skill or wisdom from God. Maybe we're concerned, like Isaiah, concerned about the state of the nation, feeling hemmed in by unruly people, not sure how we can react. Or maybe with Peter, as I believe from my reading of it, he was blissfully unaware that God was about to speak to him. But his feeling of hunger was used by God in this image of these animals which he could eat. So a simple thing of hunger was used by God as a contrast for his hunger to say, eat these things. And so each of those has an outcome. Jacob was comforted by knowing that God was in this place. Surely God is in this place. I didn't know about it. Solomon was given wisdom, became a wise king. Isaiah was commissioned to give God's message to these unruly, these rebellious people. And Peter was given a message, and I meant to put in their new message, because again, thank you for the introduction to the text today. The message was a new message, a message that could go to Gentiles as well as Jews. So I believe God will speak to us in a way that's relevant to our context. Things that are going on in our lives, things that God will use to give us a message to speak to us. So dreams as a communication from God may not be something we're that aware of, I say maybe perfectly common to us, may not be appropriate to all of us, but we should be open to the idea that, and particularly if perhaps we're not responsive to God in other ways, perhaps we're not hearing God through his word, we don't study his word enough, or we don't, in our prayer, feel we're getting answers. Maybe we should be more open to the variety of ways in which God can speak to us. Peter Grieg in his book says, maybe God is speaking to us. Maybe he's having a conversation with us in our sleep. It's just that by the time we wake up, we've forgotten it. And he suggests we keep a notepad by our bed, so if we wake up in the middle of the night and feel we've had a message, We write it down because we'll have forgotten it in the morning. Or maybe when we first wake up and can remember our dreams, because they often sort of become more vague during the day, write it down then to reconsider it at a later time. So I just want to share this diagram. I sort of did this diagram as a sort of way of me thinking it through, and then I thought, it looks a bit academic, but nonetheless, I'm going to share it with you. You might find it helpful. And it's to do the links of these various ways in which God speaks to us. Jesus is the center, as we've said right from the beginning of this series. And then these other aspects. And I put psyche there. I'll explain why in a minute, because of the unconscious, our sort of conscious and unconscious being. And then I sort of drew all these arrows on, and they may not all be exactly correct, so I'm not going to analyze all these individual arrows. But just as an example, I believe our prophecy will be influenced by our prayer. It'll be influenced by our study of the scriptures, and so forth. Various things, they link to each other. Jesus obviously influences all of them. But particularly in our psyche, in our unconscious is bound to be affected by our knowledge of the Bible, our interaction with God through prayer. And then what the particular insight that came to me, and then our dreams and our visions is based on our sort of mental state, if you like. But the sort of insight that came to me, which is why I thought this diagram is useful, is that, and I'm not sure this is the right word, I've said optional. It's optional to us as individuals. I don't think it's optional to us as Christians. I think as Christians we should pray, we should prophesy, we should look at the Bible. But in terms of our own individuality, we can choose not to pray. We can choose not to read the Bible. We can choose not to share with others what may be God's word and we don't understand it, which is perhaps prophecy. We can choose to keep it to ourselves. But we can't really choose what's in our unconscious. Certainly I can't choose what I dream about at night. And maybe that is another path that God is using to speak to us. These other things which we might choose not to do, God's saying the only option now is the unconscious, that spiritual intuition, or the dreams. So I say, it looks a bit academic, and maybe you're thinking, what's he going on about? But I felt that insight as to what we choose to do and what might happen regardless of our own choice is an important aspect of dreams and visions. But is it God speaking? We still come to this. The bizarre dreams you have, or the bizarre dreams I have, is it God speaking? And we have this test, again, in the book, Peter Grieg's book, this test, this ABC, is what we're thinking of God, of the possibility of being God's message, is it affirming? Is it based on our knowledge of the scriptures? Is it Christ-like? But what I'd add to that, and again, it's in the book, but what I'd add to that particularly, is it heartwarming? We know on that road to Emmaus, those two disciples, they said, way off my notes as usual, on the way, they said something about that they felt that God, their hearts were warm. Before they knew it was Jesus, their hearts were warm. And so it is with the messages we get from God. Are our hearts warm before we've even perhaps determined whether it's God speaking to us? Are our hearts warm? Do we feel it's something speaking really personally to us? Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us? And again, we had that text earlier on in this series. Fabian explained 3 weeks ago that scripture is the language of God's heart. God aims to win our hearts. He aims to set our hearts on fire. For Methodists, today is considered to be Aldersgate Sunday, remembering John Wesley. John Wesley's context, if you like, at the time was he'd been an Anglican minister, vicar, for 10 years, and yet he was praying, Lord, at this time, he was praying, Lord, help my unbelief. He was uncertain of his faith, uncertain of his future. But on the 24th of May, and hence why it's Aldersgate Sunday today, it's the nearest Sunday to the 24th, in 1738, he says he reluctantly attended a meeting in Aldersgate where he felt his heart was strangely warmed, giving him assurance that he was saved and the motivation to save others. So it's his heart warming. The message we receive, does it warm our hearts? So I think we need to attune ourselves to God's whisper. This image is supposed to say something about the sort of chaos in our minds. There's all sorts of things coming in and out. But we need to devote time during the day, time on a regular basis, time to study, time to prayer, time to listen to the message from others, the prophecy that comes to us through other people's words. But I also like to encourage you to use your imagination. Nick, in his thing about prayer, talked about using imagination for praying to God. Think of contemplation. Imagination, contemplation, time to give us the opportunity to lead to visions and dreams and an awareness of God in our being, in the sense of what is often called mindfulness nowadays, that our mindfulness is being aware of God being present in us. And so in the book, again, Peter Grieg recommends a four-step approach popularized by the Jesuits in the 16th century called the examine. And so when we do this and have setting aside time to do it, that we reflect on the day. So if you like the context, what's going on in our lives, reflect on the day and just sort of remind ourselves what's going on. And then rejoice in what we've enjoyed, what we've appreciated, the gifts from God, but also to rejoice on the insights that we've had about God's presence. Surely God is in this place, but I wasn't aware of it. To repent what has let us down, what we've regretted, what has marred our relationship with God. And then to ask for rest. So that is deliberately rest, but also reset. Ask for rest, to rest in God's presence, but to reset our focus on spiritual awareness. Now, the Jesuits were encouraged to do this twice a day. So there's a challenge for you. I admit I don't do it twice a day. I don't do it every day. Sometimes don't do it in a week. But it's up to each of us, isn't it? This comes back to that option. You know, what is optional as Christians? I'll leave it to you to engage with God, to decide what's right for you. So happy dreaming. Give your time, your mind, the opportunity to relax in God's presence, to open up to dreams and visions and use your imagination. Just leave with one final thing about mysticism. We don't perhaps talk about mysticism that much in church, and I think it's a danger that the modern world is too logical, too focused on method and whatever. But Christian mysticism, and I'd like to just mention one mystic, which was Julian of Norwich, who with her dreams and imagination, you might not see this, but you can imagine, a hazelnut. Some of you will know this, that Julian of Norwich used her imagination, her spiritual intuition, her visions that she had, to imagine the whole of the world, whole of the cosmos in a hazelnut. And in that, she understood the presence of God in all things and with her. So there's a wealth of imagination, a wealth of visions, a wealth of dreams, which we can use to understand God is always with us. Surely God is in this place, but we did not know it. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.